In the name of Jesus, amen. So today is St. Michael and all angels. Now, why is there a day in the church here devoted to angels? It's a good question. Well, a couple different reasons. One, it's really important for us to remember that this world is more than meets the eye. There's more to this world than meets the eye, right? So, for example, right, the modern world that we live in, it's often materialistic. It's only what you can measure and see. But we all know that falls short. They even recognize this. And many people that were at one time very materialistic are also seemingly, I'm spiritual too, right? Whatever that means. So there is a spiritual dimension to our reality. This is good. God has made it this way. We confess this as we did even in the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all things visible and invisible. So it's important for us to remember this. Another reason we celebrate this day is because we are prone to forget about angels. Right? I often forget about it. You don't see them, so you're out of mind. Out of sight, out of mind, as they say. But they are the creatures whom God has created in His heavenly realm, who glorify God by serving us. What a wonderful example they have for us. They guard us, as we read in our text, that they do battle against Satan and his minions. They protect us, lest we strike our foot against a stone, as we sang in our gradual. They watch over us. They keep us along our journey. We often have, in many of our prayers, those who are on a journey, we ask God to send His angels to guard and watch over them. Now, this can be for good, for our good, and then also kind of hinder us. Sometimes when we're on a task that we shouldn't be on, or there's some foreseeable danger in the future that we're not aware of, the Lord may very well send an angel to disrupt our travels. You find this exclusively in the story of Balaam with his donkey. Right? He's on a journey to go and curse God's people, right? And the Lord sends an angel to cause the donkey to go off on the side and nail Balaam's leg against the wall many times, right? He stops him in his tracks. Then the donkey speaks and so on and so forth, right? So the Lord can send His angels not only to protect us, but also to kind of hinder us. Right? Lest we're on a bad mission that we shouldn't be on, like Balaam was. Or perhaps there's danger down the road, like I said. We don't know what's ahead of us. The Lord may be very well protecting us from some disaster, a car accident, a couple miles down the road by giving us a flat tire a couple miles ahead. We just don't know. So the Lord sends His angels to guard us and protect us in ways that we don't even comprehend. Thanks be to God for that. We find also in Scripture that the angels feed God's people at times. Remember, after Christ does battle with Satan in the temptation in the wilderness, after He sent the devil packing, what happens? And angels came and were ministering to Him. I'd imagine they probably gave Him some food. He was hungry as it was. We see the example of the angels feeding Elijah before his journey. He goes on the strength of that food for 40 days and 40 nights. The angels the angel of the Lord gives food to Gideon as well, and other such saints of old. The angels also rejoice over us, as we find in Luke chapter 15, the parable of the prodigal son. You got the woman with the lost coin and the shepherd with the lost sheep, all about, God bringing and returning His people back to His house, to salvation. And every time that happens, every time a sinner repents, it says, the angels in heaven rejoice. And so they're rejoicing today. We just all confessed our sins and received the Lord's absolution. What a day to rejoice. I wish we could hear their singing. What a wonderful thing. As they rejoice over us, we also get to participate in that joy. And that's something that's really important for us to remember this day. We get to participate in the joy of the angels. We actually get to sing some of the same songs that they sang. Our liturgy is all about that. Right after we have our opening, right? What do we sing? The Gloria in Excelsis. Read the opening lines here. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Where do those words come from? The angels. There 2,000 years ago, where there were some shepherds keeping watch over their flocks by night, and behold, the angels came and spoke to them. What did they say? These very words. Glory be to God on high, and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. Why? Because the Christ was here on earth. And so we celebrate that every Sunday, singing these very same words, because who is here among us? Christ. Right? That's what the text for the LWML Sunday is all about. That Christ comes to us. The King comes. So it's wonderful to sing those praises with the angels. But that's not the only place in our liturgy. We also have in the Sanctus, the service of the sacrament, the Sanctus. I say at the end of the proper preface, with angels and archangels, with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. Lord God of armies, of hosts. I love that word, hosts. Alyssa remembers it really well. A couple years ago, I just got Invisalign. You know, if you're familiar with Invisalign, instead of braces, you have the Invisalign. So I just got my retainers, like, the Sunday before this. And I had to say hosts, like, 1,000 times. I was like, hosts, hosts. It was super funny. Anyway, sorry, aside there. The Invisalign's gone. I just got it removed a couple days ago. So, God be praised. We sing, holy, holy, holy. Where's these words come from? From Isaiah, from his angelic vision of the temple of the Lord. There were the cherubim and seraphim, right? And they're covering their faces and they're singing, holy, 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 Lord God of Sabaoth. And so we get to sing that because it goes on. Heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Why do we sing it right there in the service of the sacrament? Why? What's going on? Wow. Holy, 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 right? Lord God of Sabbath, heaven and earth are full of thy glory. Here, Christ comes to us not only in his word, but in his sacrament. His very body and blood for our salvation. The same body and blood which atoned for our sins. Heaven on earth. And so both then, the service of the word and the service of the sacrament in our liturgy begin with angelic praises. Pretty neat. Jesus says in our gospel lesson that these angels, they always behold the face of the Father. So be careful about what we do with little ones, what we teach them, what we don't teach them. They always see the face of the Father. And I just heard this from a commentator this week. What does that mean, the face of the Father? Who is the very image and face of the Father? Jesus. As Jesus says, he who has seen me, Philip, has seen the Father. So where are the angels looking? To Christ. And then you look and you think about the temple of the Lord. Those two angels, those two cherubs, right? Over the Ark of the Covenant. Where are they looking? Where are they gazing? They're looking at the mercy seat. There where the glory of the Lord was to abide. There where the atonement sacrifice for sin was to be made every year, which atoned for all the sin of Israel. There, the face of the angels behold the face of the Father, the blood of Christ, the very blood which atones for our sin. And so it's no wonder to us that when we gather together in Christ's name to hear his word and receive his sacrament, there we are joined with angels looking and beholding this very thing, the blood of Christ given for the sake of his people. It is beautiful. So then what is an angel? Well, we got some depictions of them, and they are terrifying creatures, right? We'll get to that in a second. But the word angel, or angelos in the Greek, Malachi in Hebrew, or Malak, right? They can be used in three different ways as we see them. For the created heavenly beings, as we spoke about and will. For human beings, even. and for the Son of God himself. So obviously for the created heavenly beings. They serve us. They serve God, glorify God by serving us. They're invisible, and yet sometimes they appear as men, as we find with Abraham. They are terrifying, fearsome creatures. Every time they appear in the scriptures, what are the first words out of their mouth? Fear not, right? Take it easy. I'm not here to slay you. Right? I know I'm terrifying. Fear not. Right? The Lord bless you. And other times we also find them very meek and mild, as we find with Abraham and the three visitors that visit him. And they go off to Sodom, and we all know what happens there. They seem very weak and mild, and at the same time, they are fearsome, glorious creatures. The Bible depicts them always as men. I mean, as males, right? Masculine. Never as females, never as little babies with wings that you find on cards and postcards, right? But as men. Terrifying, well armored. Sometimes with wings, sometimes not. They're older than we are. They're way more intelligent. They're powerful, but not as powerful as God. And even though they're above us in many ways, what's the crown of God's creation? Men, not angels. But they're better than us in all these different ways. Why? As the Lord so ordered it to be. And I think, now this is my thought, not from the Lord's word, as far as I know, I think this is why the devil was so upset and why he rebelled. That's my thought. The Lord will tell me on the last day. Now, angels, they can't read our thoughts. I don't think they can at all. Or understand our hearts, you know, looking into us and kind of bothering us in that way. But they likely know us better than we know ourselves. As it's written of the devil, he is the master of a thousand arts. You can't be more clever or witty than he is. And that brings me to this next point here. There are good angels and there are evil angels. That's what the demons are. The devil and his angels are those who are cast out of heaven sometime between the creation and the fall of mankind. Sometime in there, he was cast out. And that's where he appears to Adam and Eve in the garden, that serpent, that dragon, as it says in Revelation. He rebelled against God in heaven and really tricked mankind into rebelling against God here on earth. Though these are fallen angels, as a good title, we often call them demons. But you will find them, as we found today, them referred to as angels, because that's what they are. And hell, which never was part of God's original plan for creation, hell was created then for these angels, these demons. You find that in Matthew. He sends those who do not believe in Christ to the place made for the devil and his angels, his messengers. So it shall be. So angels refer to those, and the word angel refers to those heavenly angelic beings, but it also refers to men. For the word angel means messenger. Now that doesn't mean that we sprout wings, right? And let no one think we become angels when we die. That's bad theology. It's not true. We have much greater than that. We get to be resurrected in our bodies, glorified. The crown of God's creation, like we said. So we don't sprout wings. So what does it mean? We're messengers of God. In fact, even the word gospel in the Greek, euangelion, contains the word angelos, angel. Good news, as we translate it. Good news, message, good message. Messengers. So yes, this refers to men as well. As we find in Malachi, whose name means angel, just found that out this week. He speaks about this forerunner of Christ who is to come, who's going to be a messenger, an angel of the Lord. And who is that as we read the New Testament? It's John the Baptist, as the Lord Jesus says. He is an angel, but a man, a man. In the Revelation to St. John, not today's text, but elsewhere, it talks about the seven churches. And given to the seven churches are seven angels. We understand, based on what they do in that, that these angels are pastors of the churches. John's writing to the pastors of the churches there in modern-day Turkey. So in this way, many of us have entertained angels unawares. Not only, perhaps, as Abraham did, with those three visitors, he fed them and gave them cheese and things, right, and watched over them. Maybe some of us have entertained angels in this way that appeared to us as men. This is very true. Heavenly angelic beings appearing as men, we may have entertained them, as the writer of Hebrews says. But this same passage, many of us have entertained angels unawares, can also be referred to pastors. You've served or ministered to pastors unawares. I know this because I've experienced it from the other side, right? I'm there on a plane talking with someone after they tell me their whole life story, right? Then I reveal to them, hey, I'm a pastor, right? Or I'm getting my hair cut and this guy is cursing up a storm. And then finally, after he's done with all his work, he says, so what do you do? I'm a pastor. And the look on his face. So we entertain angels, messengers of God, unawares sometimes. So be hospitable. You never know when you're going to run into one. So angels refer to heavenly angelic beings, messenger of God on earth, that is men, but also to Christ Jesus himself, the Son of God. The Son of God is the Lord of all angels. He's risen far and above them in his ascension. He is the messenger of the Father, the mediator between God and men, who we find often in the Old Testament referred to as the angel of the Lord. The angel of the Lord came to so-and-so. Well, who is this angel that they worship and adore? Well, it's not just some created angel. As you find in Revelation towards the end, right? John falls down before this angel and tries to worship it. And he says, don't do that. I'm a servant just like you. So angels, if they are truly godly angels, will not accept worship and praise. So we don't pray to angels or anything like that. But in the Old Testament, when we find this angel of the Lord, singular, they do worship and praise this angel. He speaks on behalf of God often. So who is this angel, this messenger? It can't be a heavenly angelic being created by God. It must be God himself, Christ. We do understand, in fact, that this angel is the pre-incarnate Christ. That is, the eternal Son of God before he took on the form of a servant and was born in the likeness of men. We called his name Jesus. So he is the angel of the Lord. Now, church, we don't ascend to heaven. Some Christians will talk about when we get together, we spiritually ascend to the heavenly realm way far off somewhere. They'll talk about the sacrament that way. When we eat and drink Christ's body and blood, it's not here. We spiritually ascend to partake of it wherever he is off in heaven. That's not the truth. At church, we don't ascend to heaven. Christ brings heaven here to us. Same as the text for the LWML, right? The King comes to us. Here, the angel of the Lord, the messenger of the Father, is present for us in his message, his word, and in his body and his blood. And where he is, there too are the angels, heaven on earth. Wherever he is, so too is the Father and the Spirit. There is no division. Here then is that gate to heaven. Here is that ladder set upon the earth upon which the angels ascend and descend. Reference to, you know, Jacob's ladder, right? As well as John chapter, 2? He is the ladder of heaven, whose company we enjoy singing with all the angels and all God's messengers. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. For he does come, and he comes with blessings. Hosanna in the highest. He has gathered this day in the name of the messenger of God, Jesus Christ, and receiving in His shed blood and the declaration that our sins are forgiven. The veil which separates the visible from the invisible is lifted from our eyes, and by faith we behold heaven and earth as one. So glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is what the feast of St. Michael and all angels is all about. Christ with us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue by singing the offertory.